Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, this morning I want to remind you, or not this morning, it's afternoon. It's weird having a service Saturday afternoon. I want to remind you that you are a Christian caregiver, a caregiver. If you think about that thought that you're a caregiver, there's actually two ways that you can be a caregiver. We're going to have a slide here, if we can get the next slide up on Proclaim, that'll move into our message here. Christian caregiving can go one of two ways. Here are two definitions. First of all, you can be a process-focused caregiver. The definition there is that you do the little things that are right in front of you and let God ultimately take care of the results. Little things like praying, listening, being reliable, patiently waiting for God to act, being consistent. A person who is a results-focused caregiver is someone who tries to do the things that ultimately only God can do. Trying to bring solutions to problems, trying to bring force peace into the world, trying to build faith in the heart of another person. Now, with those two definitions, think about yourself, where you fall in those two options as a Christian caregiver. Which one describes the caregiving that you give to others? I won't have you raise your hand, but as I've contemplated that, I have to admit to you that I am probably a results-focused caregiver. I like results. I like to be a part of the solution. I like to see the change that happens in people's lives. Isn't that what being a Christian is all about? Is seeing the kingdom of God at play and that you have a hand in it and that you get to change the world in some way. Results. Now, at first glance in our gospel text, and this is actually a continuation of the gospel reading from last Sunday in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples, you might get the beginning thought that Jesus also is about results, because he tells the 12 disciples to do things. Last week we heard Jesus said, early on in chapter 10, cleanse lepers, raise the dead. And in today's reading we hear that Jesus says, go out throughout the villages and see people, proclaim on housetops, our text says. Do things, action, results. How does that work out, being a results-focused person in the way that you caregive for others? It doesn't always work out, does it? Not always, because the results don't always come. They don't always come the way that we might want them to or we would expect them to. It's one of the struggles of being a pastor, actually, and our vicar is training to be a pastor, and we're trained to actually think about results. Here's some of the results over the last couple months that it's been a struggle to make these things happen. Hospital visits. That's an important part of our job. We haven't been able to do that and meet with our people in some very intense moments. Having meetings with people and having counseling sessions. Zoom meetings don't cut it. How many times there's just been miscommunication in a Zoom meeting? Preaching is a way to care in ministry. Here I am standing up here with a mask in front of me. You don't know if I'm smiling or if I'm frowning. What do you think? Am I smiling or frowning right now? I'm frowning. Ah, I tricked you. You see, results are going to be hard. They have been hard the last 3 months, and they're going to be hard in the months to come, my friends. Things that we've always counted on in ministry. Attendance, that's going to be interesting, isn't it? How about bringing in new members? A new member class, that's going to be interesting, very difficult. And see, if we're focused on results, there's a chance that we could be very deflated. Also, if you think about our own caregiving with those that are around us, I don't know how it's gone for you personally over the last couple of months, but it's been difficult. You write down 10 things that you want to accomplish in a day and have 10 connections with people, you really only get 2 or 3 of them done. Well, here's the good news. In Matthew chapter 10, the disciples know how we feel. during this time, because they go out with great energy and passion when Jesus tells them to go out. They actually come back defeated because the results don't really come their way. In fact, a couple towns, Tyre and Sidon, actually ask them to leave. Jesus has to pump them up again at the end of chapter 11, where he says, "Come unto me, all of you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest." Another reason why being results-focused and a caregiver for other Christians that are around us, or a caregiver for our spouse, where it can be a challenge, is this, is when you compare yourself to the results of another person, and you don't really, you don't meet their standard. That can be deflating, comparing. Now Jesus, when he says this passage here in Matthew chapter 10, he's talking to the 12 disciples. Here they are: Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Thomas, Thaddeus, Simon, Nathaniel, Bartholomew, Simon, and Judas, 12. Now I imagine when Jesus was talking to those 12 disciples that they began to compare themselves to one another. A shy guy like Andrew might have thought, "There's no way I'm going to get the results that my brother Peter's going to get. He's amazing with people." And a quiet guy like Thaddeus, who we really don't know what he did, we really don't know, if he compared himself to James and John, he'd say, "There's no way I'm going to get the results that James and John get." And then I imagine Peter, James, and John, the leaders, comparing themselves to one another and having a tit for tat over who's done the most and results. You see how this is very deflating. My friends, we live in a world today of even greater comparison. Have you checked out Facebook? Moms compare themselves to that all-star mom who does it all. Fathers compare themselves to that all-star father who just does everything right. Students compare themselves to the all-star student this weekend for graduation. And at first, when you see your friends on Facebook and you see their accomplishments, you're excited for them, but then there's that feeling in your heart: I haven't gotten those results. I'm not quite as good. Being results-oriented can really deflate us and keep us down. Now, as Jesus talks to his disciples and ultimately us about caregiving in Matthew chapter 10, I truly believe that Jesus is actually not teaching results focus. In fact, if you look at our text today, Jesus is saying the results probably aren't going to be very good. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be kicked out of towns. You're going to be persecuted for my name. Brother will betray brother. Sister will betray sister. This sort of language here, Jesus says. Jesus shifts the focus away from results to this as we caregive for others. He says, "Remember that you are valued as you go in my name." And he says it this. He says it this way: "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And if one of those sparrows fall to the ground, it doesn't fall apart from the Father. Are you not of more value than many sparrows?" You, my friends, are valued. And that's important to live, knowing that you are valued and loved by your Heavenly Father. Now, happy Father's Day. Tom Lucky, happy Father's Day. You're watching. My earthly father, I love him very much. Very thankful for him. And the beautiful thing about my earthly father, Tom, is that he didn't care about the results of his son. He did care, but he valued me no matter what. When I scored 40 points a game in high school and came home pretty high and articles were written, my dad said, "I'm proud of you." When I came home and I played a terrible game and lost the game with a missed free throw at the end, my dad would say, "I'm proud of you." When I came home with my graduate degree, my dad said, "I'm proud of you." When I came home with a wrecked car, now, I got a lecture, but at the end of the lecture, the message was, "I'm proud of you." You see, when you live in a house like that where there's stability no matter what you do and it doesn't matter what the results are, you're loved and you can live in that love and you can be as you are. Dear friends, We have a heavenly Father who invites us into his home. And it's a home that's not based on results. It's based on his love. And Jesus made that clear in one parable, the parable of the prodigal son. He made it clear that the Father that we have doesn't love us based on results. Now remember the story. There was one son who went out and got terrible results. He wasted the family inheritance, and he did it in wild living and fashion. The other son did everything right. His results were excellent. He went above and beyond expectations. Now, if the father in that parable based his love on results, he'd punish one and he'd raise the other up and love him for the rest of his life. But that's not how the text goes. This father values all his children, and he loves both his sons the same regardless of their results. Results are going to be hard to come by. They have been the last 2 months, and they are going to be for the next few months. For a church, that's the way it's going to be, but also in our personal lives as we interact with less people than we ever have, perhaps in our entire life. It's hard to get results. But know this, more important than results is this. You are loved. Live in the Father's love. You can come into his home with bad results, sin, mistakes, faults. He's proud of you and loves you. You could come with great accomplishments and amazing things. He's proud of you and loves you. This frees us and allows us to be stable in challenging times. So as we come back to our definition, a process-focused or a results-focused, Jesus is really requesting that his followers follow a process-focused way of caregiving to others. Now, there are lots of big things out there. A cure for the pandemic, that's a God-sized thing. What can you do? Little things. Pray. Call on others. Continue to write those cards. Little things. It makes a difference. Injustice in the world and all sorts of difficulty and challenge, that's a God-sized solution. And God can bring, and he will bring, everything together in his time. But what can you do? Care for those who haven't had a voice in the world. Connect with someone that's different. Make a difference in the little ways that you can with the people living right around you. And one by one, we recognize, if we do these little things, that God has the ultimate results in mind. And he'll put things all back together at one point where there will be no more pandemic, there will be no more strife and injustice, and everything will be put back together. In the meantime, we do the little things and trust in his ending and his timing. Amen.